Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks a lot for listening today. New information is surfacing about the deadly Metro North train derailment in the Bronx on Sunday. As you've been hearing on the news, the train was going 82 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone around that Spuytenduyvil turn. The investigation into why the train was going so fast, was it due to mechanical or human error or something else, is ongoing. But my next guest, Murray Weiss, DNA Info columnist and criminal justice editor, has a story today citing sources who say that the veteran engineer, William Rockefeller, simply dozed off. Murray Weiss, welcome back to WNYC.
Yeah, Brian. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what your sources are saying.
Well, my sources are saying the following, that in the moments after the crash, you know, first responders went to the scene of the crash. Naturally, they planned for these disasters. And, you know, among them were paramedics, obviously, then firemen and police. Several of the paramedics helping the people who were injured, of course, encountered the engineer, Mr. Rockefeller. And among the other people who responded to the scene as well were investigators with a single purpose to try to immediately begin to find out what happened here. And the some of those investigators encountered Mr. Rockefeller as well. And in the minutes after the crash, he was being tended to, he made remarks that fundamentally said that he had dozed off during the moments before the train crashed, and he was awakened and applied the brakes, but it didn't stop the train in time from derailing.
And your sources are saying he was not texting, not drunk, not on drugs. They know this already?
Well, here's what happened. The investigators brought in prosecutors from the Bronx District Attorney's Office also immediately. There were subpoenas issued both for his phone and for blood samples from him. And I believe that they already had determined from checking with examining his phone peripherally and perhaps from records that his phone was not engaged or being used at the time of the crash or at the period leading up to it. I believe he actually told them that as well. And two, I think they got some preliminary tests back on the from the blood and perhaps a breathalyzer, and my sources told me that they are convinced, at least preliminarily, that alcohol and blood and drugs apparently did not play a role in this. I think the remarks he made at the early stages, the utterances he made right at the chaotic scene that followed the deadly crash, are going to be the most telling. And in fact, if you work backwards, you have these remarks from him that indicate that he dozed off. And then the NTSB and the investigators get the black boxes, which they download, and then they listen to him in the aftermath of their initial dealings with Mr. Rockefeller and his initial remarks. And if you examine what the NTSB officials were saying yesterday, it actually fits the early scenario that the investigators got from their brief conversation with Mr. Rockefeller, that the train was traveling at a high speed through a 70-mile-an-hour zone. It was picking up speed. It's a straightaway. And as it approaches the curve where the speed of the train is supposed to be descending, as it enters a 30-mile-an-hour curve, and one of the sharpest ones on the actual run from Poughkeepsie to New York City, the data shows that about 6 seconds before the train actually flew off the tracks and derailed, the throttle was put into a neutral position and then quickly, within a second, slammed into the brake, which coincides with somebody falling asleep.
It's consistent with somebody waking up and realizing, oh, my God, look at the situation I'm in, throwing it into neutral and then slamming on the brake.
Correct. And I think the assumption, not on the assumption, this is basically what they believe, is that the train is, you know, entering a curve and there's rumbling and the motorman is awakened or feels it and he's awakened too late to stop the train.
So the train doesn't have what they call a dead man's pedal, meaning that you have to actively be pushing the throttle or else it automatically slows. Like the gas pedal on a car, you know, you have to be pushing it or the car will slow down unless you're going down a hill. Or is it more like cruise control?
Well, listen, I don't want to pretend here to be a expert on trains and how they fully operate. There is a mechanism there that remains in a depressed position that avoids automatic braking. And that seems to have been the position that was on at the time. I don't want to speculate because I don't know whether that's something that you put in place while you're traveling at 70 miles an hour through a straight zone so that there is no automatic braking. And then suddenly you hit a curve and now, you know, all hell is breaking loose and you got to take action to try to stop the train.
We should say that none of your sources would go on the record with this. So if you've got all unnamed sources in this piece drawing fairly definitive conclusions, it sounds like, about what actually happened in this accident, how confident are you in this story?
Oh, I'm very confident. I'm certainly confident in what I was told and by the people telling it to me. I'm not going to give away sources here, but remarks were made by Mr. Rockefeller, and the sources didn't want to share his exact remarks, but the representation that was drawn to me was by people who are intimate with what was said by him.
Is there any motivation in particular for leaking some of this out before the official announcement of it?
No, there's no motivation other than reporters have sources who often share things with them. I mean, it's really as simple as that. There's no motive here. Certainly, actually, the portrait of Mr. Rockefeller here, his history is that he has an unblemished record. He's supposedly somebody of extreme confidence and competence. I don't want to defend what happened here. You have a fatality and four people are dead, and it's a terrible accident. But I think the listening public here, you don't want your people entrusted in driving your trains to fall asleep, be sleepy, lose their lose their direction. But I think everybody who's driven a car can probably relate to, you know, having a moment of sleepiness at a wheel.
Right. So the question is, is it just one of those things, like might have happened to anybody having a moment of dozing off or nearly dozing off behind the wheel of a car? Or is there any issue here? If we are confident in that he wasn't texting or otherwise distracted, not drunk or on drugs, could he have been overworked? Could the shift rules not be good enough to protect against engineers driving while overtired, or, you know, who knows? But do you see any issues that get raised here by this, or is it going to be a tragedy that's written off as a fluke?
Well, I'd say that part of the story has yet to be written. Preliminarily, I'm told that, they're not sure what, you know, they don't think that the guy was overworked or there was anything like that, but they're certainly going to investigate, you know, where he was the night before. He's going to be re-interviewed on what happened here, and whether there are ways of preventing these tragedies is yet another question, because there is technology that has been discussed, and there is legislation about introducing certain technologies into the rail systems that can perhaps prevent something like this to happen. In other words, when trains go through curves, that there's automatic slowing down of the train, regardless of the engineer.
And if there's an issue that emerges from this tragedy, so far it seems to me to be exactly that. We had a train wrecks expert on the show yesterday and a reporter from the Wall Street Journal who said the NTSB has been urging railroads to install new technology that would, as you say, among other things, automatically slow trains through curves. And yet the railroads have been resisting implementing this technology despite pressure from the federal government. Is that your understanding?
Well, I think they're trying to do it. It's extremely expensive. It's time-consuming in terms of actually installing these things in trains. And like all things, you know, sometimes expense outweighs ultimate safety. You know, and speaking on one other point here about the actual investigation, you know, the toxicological tests on the blood do take longer period of time than testing for alcohol. So, you know, could there be something else at play here? I don't think that has yet to be determined. And even if this is a tragic accident and Mr. Rockefeller had a momentary doze off, which, as I said, you know, lots of people can relate to, the fact that he is entrusted with driving a train places him in a different legal category and a criminal category. You know, you falling asleep behind the wheel of your car that has some liabilities and potential criminal exposure, but he's in a different place. So if there are fatalities, you know, there are possibilities for bringing criminal charges just on something like, you know, reckless endangerment or endangering the lives of people that, you know, that your trust, that you, whose trust you have.
Murray,
so saying that it's just a terrible accident, you know, there's going to be a process before that kind of determination is made.
Murray Weiss, DNA Info criminal justice editor, with a story out today citing sources who say that engineer William Rockefeller dozed off, leading to that tragic derailment. Murray, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Brian.